Michael McHenry, top of the hour. Man, let's ask him about declining offense in baseball. And I wanted to make it clear with Shelty, and I think in general, Paul, that it's absolutely no excuse for what we're seeing here in Pittsburgh. So let's be clear about that. But it is a fact that hitting,
it's way down.
All the benchmarks are headed for historic lows.
Right. Terrible.
And I think, I mean, there's an obvious reason. The pitching's better. That's just the fact of it. And I would strongly suggest you read the story to everybody out there I'm talking by Jason Stark, because he interviews a ton of major leaguers.
Yeah.
Yelich is quoted high up saying, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, this isn't a mystery. You can no longer sit on a bad pitch. A lot of it is technology, by the way. Used to be a guy had a pitch that people would sit on. You know, you're 3-1. I'm sitting on this. I know this guy's going to throw it here. He doesn't throw it anymore because they break down every single pitch that you have in your arsenal. And if one ain't working, if they're sitting on one, you just don't throw it anymore. Nobody sits on 3-1 fastballs anymore. First of all, there's 19 different kinds of fastballs that all these guys control. Then on top of that, they've reached the point where as a hitter, if Paul Zeiss comes to the plate, I know going into the game based on my scouting report where he's put the ball in play every single time in his career. All 987 bats I can study, and I know most of the time when he ropes a double, it's to left center, and I know the exact same spot, and I've got my outfielders playing there. Yelich and those guys mentioned that as well, Paul. So yeah. I don't think it's a mystery why this is happening. Here's my question to you, because I think there's an obvious answer, and I forgot to ask Shelty. I had it written down. Would you move back the mound in Major League Baseball? I would.
There's another factor, though, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And it's how they're grooming hitters these days.
Yes.
You know, there's such an emphasis. Again, I was actually talking to two different guys I know that are in the industry.
Yeah.
That do it for a living. And they're like, if you watch a lot of these guys, there's such an emphasis on launch angles and everything else that they all have, a lot of these younger guys, they all have easily exploitable flaws in their swing. And so, you know, it's almost like the pendulum has to swing back a little bit to valuing batting average again. Because nobody, now if you talk to these guys now in baseball, well, we don't care about batting average. Well, you know, OPS is all that really matters to us. And you know, we want a guy to be able to drive the ball because it's unrealistic to string three or four hits together in an inning because it's so hard to hit. Well,
right.
You know what? It's really hard to string three hits together in an inning when everybody is swinging, you know, and has a bad swing and they're all striking out. I mean, it's not a good thing when you see, again, a guy like Gonzalez should never have 20-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Because, yeah, he's got a little power and he can drive the ball, but he's a guy that should be trying to actually hit the ball the other way. And you know what? One of the things that Shelton said that was true, that I agree with, is, hey, you got to be creative maybe to try and score some runs. If that means sacrifice bunting, you know, squeeze, suicide squeezes, whatever. That kind of small ball mentality has completely gone out of the game.
I agree with you.
So I want to make it clear. I definitely agree that the combination, our pitchers are better, there's more velocity, there's more technology, all that stuff is in play as well. But another part of it is how they're developing hitters. And to me, the two things combined have led to a place where, you know, it used to be like you were a little bit scorned if you had more than like 100 strikeouts in a season. And now you regularly see guys with 200, 250, and nobody bats an eye because it's strikeout or home run mentality. It's like, well, we're not going to be able to string together two or three hits. And you know, you go back to the whole bunting thing. I thought about it last night. And, you know, yes, you can have bigger innings if you swing away. But if you get a guy at third, if I'm a manager, I'm sorry, if I get a guy to third
Yeah.
And I've got one of my 150 hitters or 130 hitters or 120 hitters or, you know what I mean? All these guys that are horrific. I'm laying down a bunt almost every time. And I'm just saying, listen, just get it on the ground. And I'm telling my guy from third, you know, get a good jump and let's try and score a run. Because that's better than him striking out or hitting into a double play and ending the inning. You know what I mean? At least you have a chance to move some guys forward and score some runs. And I think that that was one of the things I liked about what Derek Shelton did say was, hey, I got to be more creative and try to create offense. So it's a two-pronged problem, Joe, and I don't know that there's an easy answer. And the other part of it is, you know, like Shelton said, anybody that's got that hard velocity like that, they're pushing them to the majors. So these minor league hitters aren't getting a chance to see these guys enough, you know, to get ready for the majors.
All that is totally valid. Yeah, what those people told you, I believe. But we'll ask McHenry coming up here about hitting approaches, about why we're looking at historic lows. Having said that, it still doesn't excuse the Pirates. But back to the topic, why not move back the mound? Here's what I don't get about pro sports a lot, is the total lack of adjustment to changes, natural changes that occur over time, like the size of the athletes and the speed, like the size and changes in technology to the equipment. Like, all right, we've reached a flashpoint again, like we did in 1968, I think, and they lowered the mound. Pitchers were too dominant. Why can't they move it back a foot? Why hasn't basketball or hockey? I look at hockey, the players are twice the size they were in 1970 and twice as fast, but we still have the same size rink. Goalie equipment, go look at a goalie in a game from the 80s. He looks naked compared to what they have now.
Yeah.
Why isn't the net bigger? Basketball, same size of the court, same size of everything. Football, the same thing. It's like, is it the sacredness of the numbers they don't want to be compromised? Like, why don't sports adjust to things like this? Baseball did in a radical way when it lowered the mound.
Right.
I like that. Basketball did in a way when it instituted the three-point line. But what about moving it back?
So if you move it back, say you moved it back 2 or 3 feet, you think that would – then you I think that could work. The only thing is then you'd have to have – you would probably have at least half a season with a zillion walks because pitchers would have to try and readjust what they're throwing and when their pitches are breaking and all that stuff.
I wonder how far back would make a significant difference. I'm going to ask McHenry about that coming up at the top of the hour.
If they moved it, so what if they moved it back and made it lower?
Now you're talking. It's the same thing. The goals in hockey, the nets, I've never understood why they aren't bigger. Why shouldn't they be bigger?
Aren't goalies' equipment and goalies themselves a lot bigger nowadays than they used to be?
Yes.
So...
and I think it's because, then a 50-point, you know, 50-goal season won't mean as much as it did. You'll screw up all the numbers. Well, who cares, first of all? Secondly, that's already the case. You have 3-on-3 overtimes, for God's sakes. They didn't have that in the 70s. You have technology with the sticks and things like that that make it a totally different game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that, that's... if you think about it, if the goalies are bigger, the pads are wider. I mean,
chest protectors bigger, gloves bigger, blockers bigger.
My point is, it's probably going to balance out if you make the net a little bit bigger.
Yes,
and I think the other part of that is, if you really look at it from that standpoint, like, well, if you made the net a little bit bigger, it would help with scoring, right?
Which is what people like.
But here's the other thing. And we're going to talk about the hockey game, I'm sure, later in the show. But one of the things that drives me absolutely insane about hockey nowadays, I would love to see a rule that says if you leave your skates and go down on the ice to block, you know, because guys block shots now, it's a 2-minute penalty. I hate that.
Well, let's talk about something for a minute.
We could, but I'm just saying, like, that to me has become as big of a problem as the size of the net and the you know what I'm saying? Like,
game last night, it had a certain tenseness because it was game seven. It was a lousy hockey game.
It was terrible. But my thing is, everyone was going on and on about Bobrovsky and what a great job he did in the third period. I'm thinking to myself, how many of those shots actually got to him?
He didn't make a difficult save the whole night.
Not one. Most of those shots, especially the ones that were like there was that one right in front of the net with McDavid, where McDavid turned and it looked like he had a chance to score. The guy came in from behind and poke checked it out of his. Bobrovsky had no idea where the puck was.
Yeah.
And there was a number of those shots that guys were just diving on the. And listen, I get it. Listen, I get it. It's desperation time. You are doing everything you can do. You're sacrificing your body, all that kind of stuff. To me, I think it would be a really easy rule change to say, if you're going to block shots, you got to do it from your skates. You can't dive. You can't leave your skates. You can't be on the ice. You know, we had a wall of humanity laying in front of the goal.
I know. I thought it was fitting that the Cup final in Game 7 ended with 20 guys in the corner all on top of each other with the puck underneath them. That was the scrum. There wasn't even a shot at the end of the game. The best defensive team won. You know, credit to them, I guess, but it wasn't much of a hockey game, if you ask me.
Right.
I like some up and down action. I think that's the beauty of the game. And then you extend it to baseball. Yeah, people like offense in baseball too, and it's dying. For all the changes they've made too to benefit offense, it's not working. So I don't take it lightly that a radical change like moving the mound back, I would only say under dire circumstances. I think we've reached that point. I really do. Where the pitchers are just too good. Just like 1968.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like I said, I think that's a problem. Like if you, I since you said this a few minutes ago here, I've been thinking about this moving the mound back thing. So if I'm throwing at 99 miles an hour, right, or 100 miles an hour, like how, let's say we move it 3 feet back and lower it, I don't know, 3 more inches. How much longer do you think you have to look at that as a hitter? You know what I mean? I'm throwing 100 miles an hour from 3 feet back and 3 inches lower. Is it like another half second that you'll see the pitch?
An eternity for a hitter.
Right.
A split second. Right. But it's not just the velocity. It's everything else, like Shelty was saying.
The movement and all that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering if there has been any kind of study that would suggest, okay, so... And I forget what the mound is. Is it 90 feet or 60 feet?
60 feet, yeah.
60 feet, 66. 6 inches?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a study that says, well, if we move the mound to 64 feet, 6 inches, it means that hitters will have X amount of time longer to see a pitch. And that would lead to X amount, you know what I mean? Like,
Let's ask Michael McHenry about that. Coming up next, the perfect guest to have on the Pirates' struggles, on offensive deficiency at the major league level, all around the league, but particularly here, I would say, maybe a couple other places. We'll talk to McHenry about that next. He's great on all this stuff. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's 12:53. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency at Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Yeah, let's talk to McHenry for a bit. We'll play some of Shelton about his job security, about Andy Haynes' job security. Thought those were two interesting topics with Shelty. And then talk about Connor McDavid and the Conn Smythe. Was he a deserving winner? We haven't even gotten around to that with all the Pirates issues. We'll talk about that.